this morning. Awesome. All right. Today we have a pretty exciting thing to share with you. We have a panel of all sorts of different people in different places in education. So we are going to learn what is going on in some of our schools, and we're also going to hopefully empower some of you who are currently homeschooling or teaching to have great ideas of how to be successful with including gardening and regular school curriculum, you know, all that math and science and stuff. And so let's get started. With Tommy, can you please tell us what is going on at Daystar? I know you're doing something new this year.
Yeah, it actually, we started it last year with respect to the farm and the students working on the farm. This is my sixth school year, my family and I serving at Daystar. And the first year I came, I was super excited. I'd been apprenticing with Lynn Hogue and learned a lot of stuff from him and was just all amped up on this school that had a farm. And so when I first got there, I remember I was teaching in the classroom the first year I was there, and I worked very little on the farm that first year because I had so many classes. But, you know, I was asking the students, how do you love working on the farm? And they're like, no. And it was because there was too much repetition in certain things, like, you know, just pruning tomatoes or whatever they got bored of. And so one of the things we started implementing last year was creating a space for the students where they had their own plots, student plots. They chose what they grow there or what they, you know, are going to put in the ground. And then that food we grow for the cafeteria. And anything extra they add into the market garden side of things, and we keep accounting of what they sell, and that goes back into their student plot fund. And that has made it really, it's created a lot of ownership where they, you know, this is my little spot. And like this year, we have this greenhouse that they're growing in, and they each have, the way it's worked out, they each have three little beds. And Kirk, our ag teacher, he worked it out where exactly one bed and an aisleway is exactly 1/100th of an acre. And so they can scale up, do the math, you know, what would I have been able to grow if I grew an acre or a half acre or whatever it is.
Oh, wait, so, that sounds like math.
Yeah, so there's math involved there. and like last year, it was our Bible teacher who was teaching the ag class, and those two classes obviously blend so well. I mean, it's nothing but a lesson book out there, you know.
So, I apologize. I have not introduced the lovely panel, have I? Shame on me. So, clearly, I'm a professional moderator. All right, so we'll start with Tommy. Can you just give us a little quick introduction, and then we'll go down the line and have an introduction?
Yeah, so my name's Tommy. I work at Daystar, and it's our sixth school year there, like I said, and it's an amazing place. If any of you have not ever been to that neck of the woods down there in southeastern Utah, visited Arches National Park or Moab or Canyonlands, I highly recommend coming by. We have a guest house you can stay in, so it's a beautiful place.
Awesome. Thank you. Welcome.
My name is Vicki Esau, and I'm the ag director at Jefferson Christian Academy over in Jefferson, Texas. It's kind of up in the Arklatex area. This is also my sixth year working there. I've been the ag director for 4 years. I'm originally from Nebraska, so it's like moving to another planet when you come down here. As far as gardening goes, I'm used to having a break for the winter. You don't get that in Texas. So.
And what's something really special you're doing today? This year.
Lest I forget. This year we are one of the pilot schools for the new Acquainting Agriculture program that AdAgra is developing with the help of these lovely ladies.
So we're very excited about Vicki. We sent out in June or July a message to the world asking who would like to pilot our program, because before you publish it, you really need some feedback. And so overnight, Anna got 100 replies from all over the world saying, I'll pilot the program, but we prayed and vetted it down, and we were so excited to have Vicki on board, and she's been awesome with giving us some really helpful feedback with what are some strengths and weaknesses of the program. Go ahead.
I'm Anna Perea, and I am currently market farming, at least trying to market farm in East Texas, pretty close, Northeast Texas, close to where Jefferson Academy is. We have about 30 acres there, and it's been a really awesome process. And now, this year, I'm homeschooling my boys, 8 and 6, and I've dabbled in it a little bit, but now we're full, you know, we got the curriculum and we're homeschooling. And so my big challenge has been how to integrate homeschooling and farming, because it doesn't seem like there's time for both. But anyway, so I'm really excited, though, to learn and, yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for coming. All right. And
my name is Melissa Clayton. I was a middle school and elementary school for several years, elementary school teacher for several years before I had my own children, and now my family owns and operates a small market farm in northern Michigan, and I have 2 young boys who will be starting homeschooling very soon.
Awesome. All right, so we learned what Daystar is doing with a little bit more ownership and making time for both a full-on market garden and also, you know, time for the students to feel like they have a part and they get to have a little bit more autonomy with choices. Vicki, can you give us a little bit what you have gleaned from doing the pilot program? Has it helped you to incorporate this big gap that seems to exist? How on earth do I run a full-time garden and yet at the same time make sure that I'm meeting curriculum standards?
Yes. Before this year, we just had a student work program at our school. And agriculture was one of the work options where they could, you know, work down their tuition that way. But this year, we've switched from that style of program to actually being a full-on vocational program. And so they said, okay, you're going to have to teach agriculture as a vocation. And it was panic on my part, I have to say, because I knew I was going to have to teach to standards. I was going to have to cover, you know, the expected topics and everything. And we are growing a fairly, well, for one person running it, it's a fairly big setup. And I just really didn't know how I was going to come up with how to do this. And so I was yelling loudly, pick me, for this pilot program. And it has been a godsend for me. I don't have to worry about meeting all of the required standards. I know that if I'm just following this curriculum, they're going to get everything that they need to know to come out of there and be able to not only grow their own food for their families one day, but also with the skills to become market gardeners or, you know, work in an agriculture situation. They're going to come out of this program with a good set of skills. And so that has been a big, big blessing. And we did, too, this year. We started with the students each having their own garden plot. And it is awesome to see them start from the very, very beginning, you know, where they're planning, okay, you know, what am I going to plant? Where am I going to plant it? How do I square up the corners using math? I have one student who, he's like, why do we have to do math in agriculture?
Yes, but that's success.
Yes, but he is also the number one agriculture supporter in our school. He's always promoting, you should do ag. So let's see, what else was I going to say? I don't know. It's just, I think it's awesome, and I'm so thankful for what you guys are doing. The other thing is, you know, there's a lot of material on gardening out there that you could get and put together and create some type of a curriculum, but very little of it is Christ-focused, and very little of it is, well, none of it almost, is Adventist-focused. And so I feel very secure knowing that going through this, they're going to be getting accurate information, and God is definitely in the center of it. So it's a blessing.
Awesome. Praise God. Thank you, Vicki, for taking on that big project of piloting and giving us wonderful feedback.
No, thank you, really.
Also, can you tell us maybe, have you had any success with incorporating other subjects in the vocational agricultural program? Have you seen other subjects besides math show up?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, they're maybe not subjects like you would say, you know, history and all of that. And that's in there, I'm sure, but just organizational skills and planning skills and
practical math skills.
Yes, very practical skills. I mean, they have to actually, you know, think things through from beginning to end. And, you know, it's just, I mean, they are getting bits of every topic. The curriculum is designed. I mean, you have a spiritual lesson and you have a health lesson and a science lesson with every week. And so you can't help but touch on everything. So,
awesome. Okay, so let's just start from the beginning. How do I be intentional about making sure that my time in the garden isn't just practical skills? Not that that's not wonderful, but how do I make sure it is educational and that I am meeting some curriculum? Melissa, why don't you start?
So, I'm not sure how many of you are homeschooling or if you're familiar. Every state will have a set of standards of what students are supposed to know in each specific grade. And if you're not comfortable using state standards, the NAD actually has a set of standards available as well. And what those standards do is tell you, if you have a fifth grader, these are all of the things that a fifth grader should know and should be working on. And they're pretty simple to find. You could just go to Google and type in, if you're looking for your state standards, Michigan State Education Standards, grade 5. Or if you're looking for the NAD standards, you would type in NAD state or NAD standards, grade 4, or whatever you're looking for. And so what I would do, what I will be doing with my children, is as a teacher turned a homeschooling mom who doesn't necessarily want to, like Anna mentioned, how she feels she has a hard time because she has her homeschool curriculum and then she has her gardening and she doesn't have time to do both, I would be looking for ways to integrate my education, my homeschooling, into my gardening and my farming. And giving, by printing off these standards and being aware of exactly what things my students are supposed to be learning, that helps me start checking things off of a list instead of trying to weed through a huge curriculum or a big workbook and figuring that out. I have a guide that tells me everything that my child needs to know in a specific year. And so the standards, there'll be standards for, if you're using the NAD, standards for Bible, language arts, which would be your reading, your writing, your phonics, math, science, social studies. They also have fine arts, which would be like music and art, PE and physical education and technology. And so, you know, it can be easy to see how maybe science standards or physical education standards or Bible standards will be met in the garden, but there's so many other subjects that you can incorporate into your gardening. So a specific example that I printed off or wrote down, I'm looking at language arts standards for grade 5. And one of the standards on the NAD website is to read literary nonfiction of appropriate complexity independently and proficiently, and to self-monitor reading strategies and make modifications as needed. So that sounds a little bit complicated, but it's not. You just sit and break that down into simple wording. So basically it's saying my student, my child, can read and understand informational text. That means, can my child read the back of a seed packet and know what they're growing and how to grow it? I'm looking at students notice when they make a mistake in reading and they can self-correct. So if my child is reading the back of a seed packet and something doesn't make sense or they say a word wrong, can they go back and correct themselves and fix the mistake that they made? So Am I answering your question, Angie?
Awesome. Keep going. I think that this is very helpful because...
That gives me hope.
There you go. So Anna mentioned that she is currently trying, and I think this is the struggle that I've heard across the board about the fact that how, you know, you have these textbooks, right? Your math textbook is this big, and then you have your language arts, and then you have your science, and you have your social studies, and maybe some homeschool curriculums, I know, they're all one grade in one book, right? And how do you make sure that you're getting all of that material done and still spending time in the garden? And so you're suggesting that if we know the big picture, are you suggesting we maybe don't do every worksheet?
So as a former elementary school and middle school teacher, I can tell you I have never finished a textbook with my children. Never. It doesn't happen. And so what I did as a teacher, though, was go through what my standards were, because I worked for I worked in the Northern New England Conference. I would look at the NAD standards and just make sure as I'm going through my school year that I'm meeting all of those standards, so that when my sixth grader went on to seventh grade, they knew the things that they needed to know. And I would skip around in my books to make sure that we were covering the chapters that they would need when they got into the next grade level. So in a homeschool situation, that can seem really overwhelming, but if you print off your standards and put them into simpler language, something that's easy to understand, the standards are not as scary as they sound, but put them into simple things and make a calendar. Give yourself some guidelines. In the month of October, maybe you're not quite as busy on the farm as you would be in, say, March or April. So in the month of October, we're going to work specifically on making sure that we've covered these standards and making sure that my child can know and do these specific things. And set yourself targets for the whole year. And then it's easy to, as you're going about your daily lives and the garden and the market, think about, because you have only maybe 5, 10, 12 standards that you're working on specifically that month, it's a whole lot easier to intentionally incorporate those lessons into the things that you're doing. It breaks it up into chunks so that you're not overwhelmed with all of the things that you need to do and all of the things that you need to learn.
Hopefully you're following that, because that is some excellent advice. You gave us an example that might help people really understand it with your son when you and I were talking earlier. Can you give us that adorable example that he's not quite ready for kindergarten, but if he was in kindergarten, he'd be definitely meeting kindergarten standards. Can you tell us what you're doing with him in the garden? Yes.
So my son, my oldest son, is only 4 years old, but we've been working on counting and slowly working into addition. And so I don't exactly remember the specific example that I gave Angela earlier, but one of the things that we do is I just make sure that we are always counting things together. And so we'll count, how many carrots have you pulled out of the ground? And he'll count his carrots. And then we'll count, how many carrots has mommy pulled out of the ground? And we'll count how many carrots I have pulled out. And then we'll say, so how many carrots do we have all together? And then we'll count all of the carrots. And then to take that to the next level, because my son doesn't know that he's doing addition yet, I will say, okay, you, Gavin, you pulled out 5 carrots. Mommy pulled out 4 carrots. So all together we just counted that we have 9 carrots. So now we know that 5 plus I forgot what
Four.
I said. 4 equals 9. I said, you just did addition, Gavin. You just added 5 plus 4 equals 9. And while I'm doing that, we're counting. He's learning those numbers. We're working. We're getting things done. But it's all about using that intentional language and helping him know and understand what he just did. Because in his 4-year-old mind, he's never going to make that connection of, I just added 5 plus 4 equals 9. And if you're not intentional about using that language, it very likely would go right over his head. And so that's, I think, the key in homeschooling and in integrating homeschooling into your daily lives, is using that intentional language, knowing exactly what you're trying to teach your child and being intentional about using the educational words that will help them understand what it is they're learning.
Awesome. And I'm going to play off that for a little bit. And Tommy, on a different line, how are you intentional, maybe in the spiritual lessons or in the practical lessons, how are you intentional with your vocabulary as a teacher in the garden to make sure that the connections are being made? Because often we just assume they are, but there does take intentionality. Can you give us some examples of maybe how you're doing it?
Well, Kirk is teaching the class this year, and I work on the market garden, so I haven't been able to observe all that much what he's saying there, but I remember last year when Brian and Monica were doing it, incorporating Bible and spiritual things into the agriculture class. They got into this thing where Monica would actually come out in the plots where they were working, and we have this little loudspeaker because the fans are kind of loud, and she would read to them, you know, while they were working. And then in the classroom, Brian was always bringing back lessons that, you know, remember what happened in the garden the other day, or we were up in the orchard pruning, you know, and making them write and respond to what did you learn spiritually from pruning the trees today, you know? Well, I learned that pruning away certain aspects of my life can be painful, you know, or it looks like, man, I really want to keep that branch, but you need to take it off because the energy needs to go somewhere else. So, I think just trying to make those connections and be intentional with how you make those connections is very important.
Yeah, and you hit something that I think if you don't know at all where to start, a really simple idea is just adding a journal to the kids.
And they do that. They journal and keep track, and that's another way of us just seeing where they've been, and we can, you know, basically check off certain. They learned how to use the vacuum seeder and plant trays. They learned how to use the paper pot transplanter, or, you know, all these different tools that we use down there.
Yeah, definitely. And I teach English currently to high school students, and every time I have them, I always have them just journal for 15 minutes, because just like if I want to become, you know, a basketball player, I have to practice shooting, right? If I want to become a great writer, I just need to practice writing. And so the cool thing and the awesome thing about the gardening is there's plenty to write about because they just lived it, right? If I put a topic on the board, they're like, what do I write about? But when you say write about something you literally just lived and just did, it's not hard or intimidating to write 15 lines because you just physically did it. And often we just do brain work and we're not doing the physical motions. So Anna, you obviously think journaling is important. Do you have something to add? Because you put it in the curriculum.
Yes. So as a contributor to this curriculum, I felt that oftentimes in gardening, we're so work-focused, getting the task done, going to market, meeting deadlines, you know, raising funds and all of that. And it becomes so work-oriented that we lose the opportunity to meet God in the garden. And so that's the emphasis that we chose for this curriculum. It's called Acquainting Agriculture. So it's not an agriculture that makes you money. I mean, it can. But this agriculture, we intentionally want it to acquaint you with God. And so every lesson has got a Bible connection, a Bible verse, and then a connection to what they're actually doing in the garden. And then with that, on the bottom, there's tons of room for journaling because we want to give them the tools to make those connections between what I'm doing in the spiritual world and how they can actually see God. And I know in my personal life, so many times when you kind of just take a moment, a quiet moment, or the Holy Spirit just flashes a connection in your mind that, man, what I'm doing relates to, you know, an eternal principle. And so as you're walking in the garden and you're thinking these thoughts, you cannot help but develop the closest relationship you've ever experienced with God. And we want them to be able to document that, you know, those connections right in the journal, right in the garden. You know, you want, Melissa and I have been talking about that. You have a thought, you want to write it down quickly. And so they take this journal with them into the garden. They're learning the stuff. And then, oh, man, I see God in this example, and they write it down. And then they can keep this journal, this treasure of information and experience with them for the rest of their lives. And it's just a precious hidden treasure, really.
And it's waterproof, so
it's
no
waterproof.
Worry about the mud in the dirt.
Yeah, it lasts forever. It floats.
So, Vicky, you don't actually, your kids don't have the physical journals because we haven't printed those yet.
That's
just
correct.
As the teacher, you just got the pilot program. So what has it been like for you with the journaling aspect? Have you been able to do it? Have you seen some pretty deep entries, or what has that been like?
Well, we've been writing and answering thought questions from the text that's in there, but I can see the big benefit of being able to actually take it out into the garden and do that right on the spot, mm-hmm. you know, because right now we've got it all up on their computer. They've got to sit in front of their computer, and we maybe do spend a little our, you know, focus on getting through the text first so we can actually go play in the garden. So I'm looking forward to getting that waterproof coffee and we can take it with us to the garden. That'll be a lot better.
Awesome.
But yeah, but they do, you know, the kids, they have a lot of deep things that they can say, you uh-huh. know, when they're actually in there doing it. And they're so proud of themselves, you know, and I think that it just helps them to grow, you know, spiritually too, because they see it. Mm-hmm. They see it. They're doing it, and they do see God in the garden.
Yeah. You know, if you had to boil down the most important things, if you have to limit, to say what you really need to be successful in life, it's a good understanding of math, reading, and writing, right? Yeah. And so the garden lends itself quite easily to math. Mm-hmm. And if you are intentional about, like, having your student read instead of you just telling them what to do in the garden, and you take the time to let them read the seed packets and mm-hmm. read the different instructions that we just stuff away because we know what we're doing, right? You're crossing that reading boundary and then adding that journal, even if it's just in the evening where they just journal, all of a sudden you've gotten some really core things done, right?
Yes, and it's all very purposeful. You know, you're reading for a purpose, not just for being entertained. You know, you have an objective and you're reading to meet that objective, and that's a good way to learn.
Yeah, and how many times have probably you heard and you guys heard as teachers, why do I need to do this? Yes. What's the point of this, right? And
why,
the puzzle piece comes more in the garden if we make those connections for them.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Anna, do you have anything to add? Sorry.
Oh, no, I just love that we're talking about how to be intentional on the spiritual side and the educational side of farming, because sometimes that can be missed, and I like that.
Awesome. Tommy, have you noticed any of your other teachers able to pick up on lessons from the garden, or have you heard of anything else going on across? Because Daystar has been doing agriculture for a long time. Praise God, we're very happy for that. And so have you noticed other subjects being able to pick up on the gardening, or can you give us any other ideas of maybe how to incorporate some high school subjects out in the garden?
So this year we were blessed with a gift from Alan Seiler and Farmer's Friend in the form of a sulfur burner that they have put together, a small-scale sulfur burner. And so there's a lot of chemistry there, you know, and looking at the aspects of what's happening. Why do we have an infestation of aphids on the tomato plants? Well, they're lacking in certain nutrients, and that's because of our water. Our water has a lot of salts in it. It's very alkaline. And even though we're testing and getting analysis of the soil and then balancing that soil, it's being tied up by the water situation. And so we incorporated the sulfur burner a little over a year ago into the situation. And this last summer was the first year that since I've been there that we didn't have one aphid on the tomatoes. I mean, they were absolutely beautiful plants, and so yeah. What's happening? Why is it, what the sulfur's bonding to these other salts and things in the water and cleaning up the water? And so they, you know, been curious about that, and there's obviously chemistry there. There's chemistry in our distiller that we have there. How to extract oil from the lavender flower, and so and we're trying to do more and more of that, mm-hmm. incorporate as many subjects into the farm as possible.
Awesome. So that's an excellent point. As teachers, did you guys notice that learning, and especially deeper learning, applied learning, is easier when you arouse their curiosity or when you just say this is the next thing we're going to do? And how can you maybe help us have ideas of how to arouse that curiosity? Do you guys have any helpful ideas?
Problems. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. When there's a problem, what can we do? What are our solutions to try to remedy this problem? And yeah, it does. It starts a curiosity around something, you know, even to the point of like, why isn't the tractor starting? You know, because not everybody's focus is on, you know, just the garden aspect. There's a whole peripheral bit of work and tools and things building and that sort of thing that the kids are interested in, and the ones who are more mechanically minded gravitate to the tractor and all. Let me try to fix that, you know, and take things apart and put them back together. We have a full shop there at the school, and so that's been a good aspect.
And if you think about like school, to learn how to problem solve and to push yourself is how you are successful in school. And too often our society has really stopped problem solving, right? We want Google to tell us all the answers. And so all of a sudden now in the garden, the problem solving aspect is just kind of constant, right? You also talked about to me with your son, a kind of to arouse curiosity with shapes. Do you want to give that example too? That one was really helpful with you talking about with Gavin, with teaching him shapes. You've never had to send him down with a pencil and draw a shape, but he knows his shapes. Can you share how that would be possible?
So one of the things that I know is that for a preschool or a kindergarten curriculum is that my child needs to learn his shapes, and that we've never sat down and drawn the shapes and said, this is a circle and this is a square and this is a rectangle. Just that as we're going about our daily lives, I've pointed things out. And we'll, like, trace the shape of the wheel. And, oh, that wheel is in a circle. Or what shape is the door on the greenhouse? It's got two long sides and two short sides. So what shape is that? And we talk about the shape. And then now he can identify every shape when we've never sat down and drawn them out. Because I knew in my head that those were things he needed to learn. And just as we're going about our daily lives, we talk about it. And I think that the most important part of that is the discussions with your children about what the things are that they need to learn. So we mentioned starting with a problem and solving that problem. They have a question or a problem to solve, and having them work through that process. And then at the end, having a discussion. Okay, what did we just learn? Because if you don't talk about what you learned, your child may not realize that they're learning anything. And if they don't realize that they learned something, they learned a process, or they learned something about chemistry or something about math or something about reading, they may not have the tools to apply that in a different situation. And so you want to help your child break down when you're done with the learning experience. Help them understand what it is that they learned so that in a different situation, when the same kind of problem looks a little bit different, they know what to do because they already know that they have the tools to solve that next problem.
Awesome. Very awesome. Very awesome. Great stuff here. All right, so we don't have a lot of time left. So were there any things that you guys wanted to share, or maybe other ideas of how to be intentional with learning in the garden, and how to have maybe more peace to bridge that gap that just exists in so many homeschools' lives and in schools' lives, is just making this is garden time, this is school time. Do you guys have any other helpful things for people?
I'm just encouraged. You know, I think that there's so many visible topics to teach. You have so many opportunities more out in nature than you would just in your home, you know, your four square walled home. And just being out there, there's so many opportunities. Just they come constantly. And so I think that just that natural setting invokes education and the love for learning. And, I mean, we go on walks
Friday's our only real day off to just go explore and do things, and they love it. And it's a natural way of teaching. And I think Jesus used that same principle. You know, he was always out in the hills and nature using the examples right before him to teach the people. And I feel like when we incorporate that into our way of teaching our children, the principles are longer lasting. I can read a book, regurgitate something, and forget it completely the next month. But the things you learn out in nature and in the garden are life-lasting. And so I really encourage everybody to do more of that and less of, and I'm preaching to myself, I need to get out more and not stay inside, focused on that book. You know, I'm the one that's got to get every chapter done, you know. It's hard for me to let go and say, hey, let's just learn from life, not from someone else's information.
Yeah, we've tried to make that connection as well. This year I've been teaching a video editing class for our life skills. We have life skill times on Fridays. And so one of the first videos we did at the beginning of the year, we came up with just a bunch of ideas and then just started picking on down through the list. And one of my students, I had her write the little script for it. She was in the video. She edited it. She narrated it just simply about how to take a soil sample and send that off. But in that video, we made the spiritual connection to the soil being the heart and the work that the heart work that needs to happen to become a balanced, mm-hmm. you know, receiver of the seeds of truth that we're trying to plant in the heart. So yeah, making those spiritual connections, we just kind of have a mission to every little video that we make. We're trying to bridge that gap and make that spiritual connection, that living parable of what we're seeing in the garden. And so all the videos are going to be agriculture related and you know, look into what's going on in the farm.
Awesome. Vicki?
I guess I would just encourage everybody to, no matter where you're teaching from, you know, if you're in a school or homeschooling or even just, you know, yourself working in the garden, to really be intentional about remaining peaceful, you know, to get all wrapped up in your your deadlines or your standards or anything like that. It's going to come out. Yeah, frustration and stresses and anxieties, that's all going to come out to your kids, and you're going to totally undo what God is trying to do in their hearts by letting, you know, losing your peace in it. And it's just, I mean, that's why he gave us the garden, you know, to be close to him and to not be stressed and to trust and lean on him and just know that he's got everything under control. So, and I struggle with that, you know, This curriculum helps me a lot to not lose my peace, you know, worrying about the standards and stuff, but just remember the big picture and what you're trying to convey to your kids. You know, it's not meeting the standard. It's meeting God out there. So,
amen. Amen. Anything else that you guys would like to share? No? Okay. So, you know, just like you cannot, you know, just go out and plant a garden, you have to have a plan, right? And you have to have intentionality. And you have to have a record, right? And you have to know your goals, and then the next year you build on those. And you need to be the same way with education. You know, yes, of course, naturally, there are wonderful lessons occurring just because you're spending time outside. But so much more, I hope that you've realized from this panel that there's so much more capable if you are just as intentional with your education plan at the beginning of the year as you had to be with your garden, right? You had to read books, you had to listen to things on Audioverse, you had to spend time investing mentally to prepare for the practicality of the garden. And we just hope that this was helpful to you, inspiring to you. We're super thankful for the work that you guys are doing with the children of our schools and of our families. And praise God for those of you who are also working very hard to connect the garden with God and with your students. And yes, Tommy, will you close us out in prayer?
Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful for the gift of the garden and the education that it brings. And so, Lord, I just want to lift up all the teachers, all the parents who are teaching their children the ABCs of education, and that that will grow into a beautiful character that's after your likeness, and actually change us as you intended it to be. Lord, just be with all the students as well that are learning. Prick their hearts, and may the lessons, the spiritual lessons that they learn as they work with the soil and the plants, that you will be working on their hearts and bringing them closer and closer to you, to a point where they're just overflowing, and it's overflowing to everyone around us, and that we can be that blessing that you've called us to be. So we praise your name, and we thank you for the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.